Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
It's a discussion of the latest entertainment news and celebrity gossip that go beyond the headlines. Welcome to Daily Pop, the podcast edition.
Happy Friday and welcome to Daily Pop. 2020 is almost here, and with a new year also comes a new decade. Today we're looking back at the pop culture events that defined the last 10 years, all the scandals, shocking splits, and unforgettable feel-good moments. But first, the past 10 years had some crazy moments, and here are the ones that had us really going OMG. Let's begin with the famous elevator fight between Solange and Jay-Z. Oh, wow. Happy faces right there. Solange proved she is not one to mess with when it comes to her big sister, B. What began as a good time at the 2014 Met Gala ended in an elevator brawl at the Standard Hotel, all due to Jay-Z's alleged cheating. There is still no official confirmation on who is Becky with the good hair. Well, we have some names that we think it might be. You can say them, Justin. How crazy was this?
I mean, it was absolutely bonkers, right? Seeing that video and seeing them get into the argument. I remember when the rumors first came out about it and then seeing the proof and seeing it happen. Of course, afterwards, they did release that statement saying we're all family.
And we're all good.
Good. For me, I look back on this moment as being the birth of Lemonade.
It really was the birth of Lemonade. And then we figured out what the heck happened and why that happened.
Totally. And Lemonade was honestly one of my favorite albums of the decade, as far as just the film that went with it, the revelations, the fact that Jay-Z's spoken a little bit about it, but Beyoncé never really has, and that we got to hear this story through her music. And it was the most incredible art. So, yeah, bad elevator. Be careful, guys. Whenever you get in an elevator, you are being filmed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have to remember.
Who do you think Becky with the good hair is?
I don't want to talk about Becky with the good hair because I've given that up last year.
Oh, you saved yourself?
Because I don't want, you know, it's weird whenever you're speculating about certain things and like.
You do it every day.
I know, and I was guilty of putting it on somebody else, and now I don't know if it was truly her.
Okay.
But I think for me, this whole situation really, truly, and honestly opened up my eyes to Solange and Beyoncé's relationship. It also showed me that Beyoncé was proud that her sister knocked his ass out. Like, look at that face. She's like, yeah, that's my sister.
Yeah.
And Solange is like, my wig is crooked. I can't find my bag. I am pissed off. And then after that, I don't know if you guys remember, but I'm going to remind you, at the end of the fight, when they walked back to the cars, Beyoncé literally opened the door for Solange and directed Jay-Z to a car that was following them, a Ford. She was like, no, you're not getting in this Escalade. You're getting that Ford.
Everyone needs a sister like Solange. And when you found that friend, that ride or die, anyone, like, you are in good hands because they're the ones who are going to go there and do the things that you can't always do, but you need to have done.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
I love that sister.
That
okay, moving on to Kim Kardashian West's robbery in Paris that had us all shook. It was supposed to be a fun getaway for Paris Fashion Week, but turned into a traumatic experience she'd never forget. Kim says she is grateful for the experience and has grown so much from it. I was in disbelief with this. And not because I thought it was some type of publicity stunt, but what was your guys' reaction?
My first reaction was, we see these women with so much security around them that how the hell did someone let this happen to her?
Well, they were dressed as police, which is even crazier.
Which is even crazier. And my second reaction was, what must go through your mind when you realize that there is a possibility that you may never see your children again?
Mm.
Like, what goes through your mind.
Yeah.
That's what shocked me the most.
I think we're used to, like, the Kardashian ups and downs and the craziness of their life, right? So when the reports first came in and her being, like, tied up, handcuffed in a bathtub, you were like, what on earth? This sounds like it's completely made up. The fact that it ended up all being real, we saw the video afterwards of the robbers, the alleged robbers going in on one of the side doors of her, of their apartment. It was so shocking to me that this had happened. This led to a massive change with the Kardashian family.
Absolutely.
As far as security, as far as wearing jewelry, as far as that whole, like, you know, celebrities flaunting their wealth and putting on social media where they're going to be in real time, it changed everything. In some ways, Kim's path right now, as far as going into law, which of course she has her father's influence as well, but taking a more serious approach and not just that celebrity is this, like, just glamorous thing, mm-hmm. really stems from this moment of, like, being involved in this and understanding, like, yeah. what's important and yeah. Having that moment mm-hmm. of what, you know, this terrible, terrible crisis. So yeah. fascinating moment.
Truly. And lastly, we had some hard news when Demi Lovato overdosed in 2018. Demi has struggled with addiction, but after staying clean for 6 years, she suffered a near-death overdose. A year and a half later, Demi is sober, working on herself, improving. She's a survivor. She even recently got that word tattooed on her neck.
Oh.
I feel like she was the biggest rebound of 2019, like, as far as what she's done for herself, I feel like she's just made this incredible comeback. What do you guys think about Demi's journey?
You know, for me, Demi Lovato is one of my top three celebrities of all time. And I like a comeback. I like someone who can also say, hey, I've messed up, this is where I'm not perfect, and I'm gonna share it with you so you can learn from me. And I think for her, her journey has always been a transparent one. It's always been an honest one. And for that, I truly stand with her and I support her 110% because I know when she gets knocked down like we all do, she is going to get back up.
Yeah, she has proven to be one of the strongest celebrities we've ever seen come back from something so devastating like that. And to see where she is right now, she's literally had a rebirth. She even got baptized. And I feel like she's truly on this path and she is walking in purpose right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, you guys, we're reading your thoughts on the biggest OMG moments of the decade. Alicia says, the craziest thing was people actually accusing Kim Kardashian of her robbery in Paris being a publicity stunt. That's just insanity.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like when
but
you look at that family, yes,
it was.
You're like, wait, hold on. You got robbed. Your dad turned into your mom. Like, there was just so many things that happened with the Kardashians that people were like, wow, this cannot also be happening to you at this point.
One of the biggest stars in the world. And Robbie says Amanda Bynes circa 2012 to 2015 was an OMG period for her. So glad she is doing better and hope to see her in 2020, either in TV and films or fashion. I agree with that. All right, those were some outrageous moments. Now we have to focus just on scandals.
Oh, wow. Never a lot.
A lot of scandals. It goes without saying the Me Too movement has been the biggest scandal of this decade. The allegations against Harvey Weinstein in 2017 is really what set it all into action. Do you feel like there's been a lot of change since all of this?
It was a seismic moment, right? It's been the biggest thing to happen to gender politics since the beginning of feminism, really. I mean, it's just been such an extraordinary time after the Me Too movement, just relearning all of us as a society what's right and what's wrong and what's acceptable and what isn't acceptable and how to have a voice. We've got Harvey's trial happening beginning in January. We're going to have a lot more conversations around this, but just this shake-up of the movie industry. Mm. We haven't quite had it with the music industry yet. But there has been change, but there will be more.
Yeah, I think people are a little way more cognizant of how they act, the things that they say. I feel like it helped with even pay disparities. It helped
Time's
with so
up.
Many
Everything
different things.
Everything happening at the same time was, yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it really was. Mm-hmm. All right, it's been over 4 years since Lamar Odom's overdose at a brothel in Nevada. Chloe and Lamar were mid-divorce when the incident happened, but she still stuck by his side while he was recovering. They've been through so much together. Do you think there will always be love there?
I think the family will always love Lamar, and Lamar will always love the family. But I think that this was probably the last time Lamar's ever going to be hanging by a thread in his life. Mm. So I feel like they can close that chapter on their marriage finally. And I think it's honestly truly a testament to who Khloe Kardashian is as a person. And also a testament 100%. As to what women can really take. Yeah. Because after all this happened, we then found out all the details that surrounded their divorce, all the infidelity, the drugs used, yeah. and all of these things, and this woman still went to his side. And I also will say, Lamar Odom, for someone who was stuck in a rut, and it was almost like a circumstance of chance that he was born into a life where he saw his parents do the same things. It's really hard to break a drug addiction when that's all you've known your whole life.
Yeah.
So for him to be on the straight and narrow and to be married and to be alive at this point is a miracle
Seriously.
In itself.
I agree. I didn't think he'd make it at the time that we were reporting on this for E! It was a no, I don't think any of us thought he would make it. You know, it was so... it was so hard. And also making a full recovery. If you remember, he was in hospital for such a long time. It was like, oh... He can't speak. Oh, now he can speak. Oh, he can't feed himself. Now he can feed himself. Like, the progress that he made over such a long period of time. I do think there will always be love there, too. But I think for the family, like, realizing the things that Khloe was hiding from them about the marriage, mm-hmm. the hurt that she was hiding, I think it's... I don't think we're necessarily ever going to see Lamar with them all again in that family environment,
yeah.
even as friends.
The romantic love is done. And since that whole scandal, he's written a book, he's found new love. It seems yeah. like he's just in a better place as well.
Yeah.
So
really
glad. Good yeah.
2018 was a roller coaster for Roseanne Barr. She was on top of the world when her show Roseanne was revived. But before season two began to shoot, Roseanne sent out a tweet that a lot of people found racist.
It was racist. Racist.
Will she ever make a comeback?
Well, Melanie, since she's your second cousin, tell us.
What?
Melanie and Roseanne are related.
Huh?
Yeah, you didn't know that.
You took the DNA test and didn't tell her?
Yeah, 23andMe, swiped it. I'm just joking.
She's like,
Justin, how? That's like a really bad thing to say.
That you're cousins with Roseanne?
Anyway.
And they're not related, apparently.
Not related. Roseanne is not making a comeback. I think Roseanne will have a comedy comeback. There will be a small tour around the world, and people will go to see what she actually has to say. I think that is going to happen. But do I think Roseanne's ever going to come back to TV? Would a network ever take a chance on this person again? Not after what she said about Valerie Jarrett.
Mm-mm.
And not after that apology when she was smoking a cigarette in a basement came out. Who smokes in a basement?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was in a really dark place.
Really dark place, yeah.
And she had the nerve to blame it on Ambien. That's the biggest problem
Ambien
in that situation.
Ambien took offense to that. They were up on Twitter like, we are not responsible for this. We do not cause racism.
We did not cause racism. I love when I had a dude who cheated on me and was like, it was the Ambien. I'm like, okay. All right.
Oh.
Maybe you should switch to Lunesta and find a better excuse, because Ambien doesn't make you slip and fall and stick your wheelie in somebody else, okay?
Oh.
That was not on the box.
That part. Oh, my gosh. Any final thoughts on your non-cousin?
I mean, I don't think she'll come back to network television. I do think that there'll be a chance that she'll have, like, some sort of, you know, do more kind of in that streaming world or radio show or podcast. And, like, she's already dabbled with it, but I do think that there is a chance for that.
You know that because you've been in contact with her since.
Okay, enough.
So weird.
Coming up, we're taking
joke.
A trip down memory lane with George and Amal and Brad and Angie. Our discussion of the decade's top weddings and shocking splits is next. You're crazy.
You're crazy.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Welcome back. We've got some words from Justin now.
Yes. In the words of every celebrity who had to apologize this year, I am sorry that I offended Melanie by calling Roseanne her second cousin. I do not think Melanie is a racist or smokes in a basement. I love Melanie.
I love you too.
And it's okay. We can't choose our family.
Oh, my God. That is all the time we have allotted for this apology. All right, back to this show. Over the past decade, there were tons of weddings that made us believe in love, but with the good came the sad. Justin, who gave you all the feels this decade? Who broke your heart? Who made you feel something?
You know who broke my heart was Miley and Liam. Mm. I was so sad. I thought, oh, they've been through 10 years. Miley had her foam finger moment. Mm-hmm. Now they've come back and she's ready to settle down and all this is gonna happen. But it taught me that you truly don't know what's happening in a relationship. And you know what? Not everything that's glitter is gold. What is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? Yeah, that's
something
how you
like
say
that.
It.
So not everything that glitters is gold.
There you go, Melanie. So I just really was heartbroken. But I was so happy that Amal and George got married.
What a wedding that was.
And I'm going to say something, and I don't want people to take this the wrong way. I am happy that the Brainiac won. She is gorgeous, she is beautiful, but she is not the typical George Clooney model-esque wife. He picked the one who was going to change the world and who was going to align with his life. And, you know, for me, that makes me feel better because I'm the brainiac.
There
you know,
go.
I'm not the looker.
And
I'm the brainiac.
You will win.
You are the looker.
You're the looker and the brains.
You're
the
full
and package. The comedy.
No.
You're going to find him in the next decade. That's like I told you.
She said in the next decade, meaning in 2029.
Okay, we're not going that far. On the count of three, we're going to guess who Melanie Bromley's top wedding was. Okay, ready? One, two, three.
Will and Kate!
Yeah, it was. Did you guys get on play?
It was the most amazing day. And we did Harry and Meghan's as well. And I went to Kim and Kanye's wedding. There were so many like weddings that I covered over the past decade. Jeez. But this wedding was the best just for the fact that it was a whole city celebrating. And it just felt historic.
Surprise, surprise. Who was the break that caught you off guard?
Brad and Angelina.
That is a good one.
That one really hurt.
I will never forget when we got reports first of that argument that happened on the plane on September the 14th. See, I remember the date.
Wow.
And it was just absolutely crazy. They were the couple that had come together, obviously, after his split from Jennifer Aniston. It just felt like they were always going to be together. They were had children from all over the world, and they just had this like big like family. And so when they split, I just never saw it coming. There were no reports before. Hand of any problems between them. It was completely out of the blue and such a surprise.
What about you?
So for me, the top wedding was Joe and Sophie. They had a two-parter. There was the surprise Vegas one where Diplo spoiled it for them.
Uh-huh.
He live streamed the whole thing. I was living for it. It looked so fun. I feel like this is something random I would do. And then France, and I believe it was Dr. Phil who spoiled it for them?
Dr. Drew. Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil spoiled it for them because we were trying to find out when was the wedding going to be, and then Dr. Phil was like, up in France, see you soon, Joe and Sophie. Great, we know where the wedding is. We know when it's happening.
That's why we don't give old men social media.
We do not give them that.
What about
that
a split?
Split was Channing and Jenna. For some reason, I just felt a connection with them because I've interviewed them along the way, and they were just such a hot, sweet couple, and when they split and they put that joint post on Instagram, I was just wrecked by it. I cried.
It makes one of you.
That makes one of me? Okay, and then he went and dated a
Jesse Jane.
Near lookalike.
Yeah.
Which really made me sad. But he seems happy. She seems happy.
They seem
She's
happier.
Expecting. They seem great. So I'm not that hurt anymore. All right, we're reading your thoughts on our best weddings this decade. Valerie says her pick is Kim and Kanye's wedding.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful
that
wedding.
That was bonkers. That was like my second biggest wedding. As far as just like momentous, it was crazy.
It was a dream looking wedding.
Yeah, right?
Maria says George Clooney's wedding was shocking. We thought he'd be the eternal bachelor, but he proved us all wrong.
Yeah,
he looks so good for his wedding.
He's it's a funny lucky man.
How fast men age after they get married. It's like they're like, okay, I can let it go. I'm good.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? Like, not let it go completely, but like, just like, I can stop trying as whore.
Right, and embrace the dad bod. Mm-hmm. There we go. And Missy says, the red wedding, for all of us who never read the book, I'm still shook.
Shooketh!
All right, still ahead, what do John Travolta, Fergie, and the Fyre Festival all have in common? We're hitting rewind on the biggest celebrity fails of the decade when we come back.
There's been so many.
Sometimes celebrities seriously miss the mark. In the past 10 years, there have been a whole bunch of celebrity fails that made us seriously cringe sometimes and laugh. Here are a few of our faves.
That a flag was still there.
Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
La La Land.
There's a mistake. Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
Personally, I blame Steve Harvey.
I have to apologize. The first runner-up is Columbia. I will take responsibility for this.
Can I give you a hug?
No, thanks.
Please?
No, thanks.
A little one.
Yeah, no, thanks.
That last one is my favorite, Jerry Seinfeld rejecting Kesha. She was so persistent, and he was so persistent.
Oh my gosh.
No.
Because you would be, wouldn't you? Because you're like, your ego, you're just,
And it's all on camera, too.
Awful.
No.
Awful.
You know what? My biggest celebrity fail this year was John Travolta. I am deathly, deathly angry with him about the fact that he had one job. Like, you didn't have to, you're not hosting the whole show. You had one job. And they probably said, he probably was like, what's her name again? And the guy was like, Adele.
Oh, no.
Like, set him up at the back. Like, how do you not know it's Idina Menzel?
No. But, like, that just came out of his head from nowhere. Like, that doesn't even sound like Idina Menzel.
I will say, can we play that back? Because he said it with such confidence.
He was so excited about it.
Well, here's the thing, though, because I always have problems as far as, like, pronunciations with things. I'm always having to double-check. He should have just done his research, right? He would have known who was nominated. I don't understand why, because he wouldn't have known the winner. Of course you don't until you open the envelope. I don't understand why he didn't just, like, memorize every and do his preparation.
I don't know. I think maybe he just had a legit brain fart. Like, his brain went foggy for 1 second.
No,
he couldn't read it.
He's also an actor, so he knows how important and how monumental this day is for another actor. Like, if you are getting up on that stage to receive that honor, you know what it means to an actor, because you've been in those shoes before, and this woman has worked her whole life to get to this moment. I actually talked to Taye Diggs about this. I was like, what were you feeling like whenever he did that? And he was like, I wanted to hit him. I wanted to call him and let him know how disrespectful it was that he did this to my ex-wife. Crazy. It was crazy.
The wickedly talented.
Okay. This next one is bigger for me.
Okay, we've got to mention the other Oscars disaster. Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway announced the wrong winner of Best Picture back in 2018. It was all anyone could talk about for weeks. Did you love it or did you hate it?
So for me, what the thing about this moment is that I think there are still people who think that La La Land won. And don't, like, do you know what I mean? I think there are still, that whole moment was so confusing. Because even when they came up and said, actually, no, it's Moonlight. Mm-hmm. You didn't know whether to, in this moment, you didn't know whether to believe the, you were like, what, who?
Yeah.
You were left so confused at the end of it.
Yeah, I thought it was a joke. I'm like, there's no way this is real life right now.
No.
I will say, it made me watch La La Land. Like, I was like, wait, no, go back and watch La La Land.
No.
I'm mad at the Oscars, because let me let you know something. The first thing you don't do is put two people who have 0/20 eyesight on this stage together. Like, they both look like they're struggling to read this prompter.
But, like, how do you say La La Land?
Because they probably heard they were nominated for 12 Oscars that year, something crazy, some absurd amount of, you know, Oscars. They won a few that night. I'm sure they just heard the name go over and over again. And Moonlight was not the front runner for this. Everyone thought that La La Land was a shoe-in. Wow. And then look, she left Warren Beatty out there by himself.
She's like, peace.
She went through Chris Angel's trapdoor.
Mortifying. This is my worst nightmare. It's mortifying to watch, because actually, as much as all of us think we would never do any of these mistakes, we could make these mistakes.
Yeah, for sure.
Very easily. Mm-hmm.
So everyone in the office knows just how much Justin loves Fergie's rendition of the national anthem. Any chance she ever gets this gig again or something like this?
You were there live.
Okay, I was there live. Let me set it up. It was the NBA All-Star game. I was in the building. It wasn't bad, but I think what happened was they showed reaction shots of the players, and the players, I believe, were goofing off about something else.
Yes.
And then it played off of her singing, so it looked like they were making fun of her, and it wasn't that at all. They were all just, like, goofing off, laughing, and then it turned into this whole montage of all the players, like, making these crazy remarks towards her, and it wasn't that. And I don't think the song, it did not sound bad when I was in the building. I was actually feeling it. I was like, oh, this is a kind of cool different version.
I found that it was her rendition of it.
Yes.
And I find that every time somebody gets up and sings a national anthem, they're going to bring their own flair to it.
Yay.
Like, Erin Neville sang it, and it sounded like a Christmas carol.
Yeah.
People didn't like it. Fergie put her own spin on it. She was in the Black Eyed Peas. That's her vibe. I think it just is what it is. I don't think a lot of people, like, it's your spin.
Yeah.
Either you like it or you don't.
Right. Although I do love the remixes and the dance challenge that happened after that. That was great.
I listened to that for 3 months straight at 6 a.m. in the morning. It's my favorite thing.
Back in 2015, Steve Harvey made a big mistake on national TV. Do you guys remember when he read the name of the winner wrong?
Nope. I blocked that out of my memory.
Very awkward.
You are too old for that. You know what's most surprising?
Okay. I will say this is confusing because there's like the winner and then there's the first runner up. So it is kind of like, okay, wait, are you in first place? Are you in second place? Are you... First runner up is not the winner who gets crowned.
Yes, but any time that you watch a pageant, you always say the first runner up first and then the woman knows that she won. Whoever won knows. That's how it always has gone from year in and year out. My problem is they keep on having him back year after year after year.
Just 2019 he hosted the pageant. I mean, should he not be in this role anymore? Because he did make another mistake on this last pageant.
But it was not his fault on this one. I think, again, they're trying to set him up, and they want you to come back and watch it to see if Steve Harvey is going to mess up.
Look at the publicity you get from actually making a mistake like that on television. Like, it just becomes huge. I think... Everyone makes mistakes. I do really feel sorry for people who make this kind of mistake.
Yeah, it's...
You make it in the preliminaries.
You make it in the preliminaries. It is very embarrassing, but hey, it makes for these great viral moments we're talking about all
this
decade long.
This is my favorite fail.
This
you're
next
about
one?
To come
okay.
To.
You guys remember the Fyre Festival? Of course you do. It was a huge fail for Billy McFarland, his team, and all the people who planned on attending. For us, we got 2 documentaries, so that was great. And we got a lot of memes from this. Do you remember what that guy was willing to do for water?
I'm just letting you know right now, Dorothy Wing got invited by Ja Rule personally and called me and was like, hey, I got an extra ticket to this festival. It'll be fun. And what I love about Dorothy Wing is that she's so thorough. And she was like, you know what? Let's let everybody go the first week, and we gonna see what happens the second week.
She's smart.
For some reason, in my mind, I knew there was no water. I know it was a disaster. I kind of wish that we would have went, because I would have loved seeing that Dorothy Wang go off on every single person on that island and watch American Express pick our asses up in the middle of the Caribbean Ocean. Like, she would have lost her mind.
Those sandwiches, they weren't even grilled cheeses. It was cold cheese on just regular bread.
I mean, I can't believe that people fell for this. I can't believe how much the tickets were. I can't believe that this actually happened and that people thought that this was going to be good.
I was talking to a friend of mine who was actually there while this was all going on, and the ruckus in the background sounded like a riot in Germany. It was insanity.
It was insane. All right, we're seeing what you guys have to say about the biggest celeb fails of the last 10 years. Alex says the Fyre Festival. Black Spot says all of them. And Victoria says Morgan's chicken.
Biggest fail, Carissa, still waiting for that chicken. Never gonna get that chicken.
Never. Up next, Gaga, Miley, and more. It's the decade's top fashion moments, plus which new trends will be hot in 2020. We've got our predictions after the break.
Wow, still waiting for that chicken.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, you guys. We're talking fashion, and one of the most iconic dresses ever is Lady Gaga's 2010 MTV VMA meet dress.
Who could ever forget it?
Who could ever top this? Can she even top this?
That's
the problem. I feel like when she did the egg, do you remember also when she went in an egg?
When she ovulated on the red carpet?
Topped it. I hate this dress.
Because you're anti-meat right now?
No, I am eating meat right now, but it's just gross.
I know, I would imagine
it'd be
like
so smelly.
And maggots forming literally on you. Ugh.
And just the thought of it, just the thought of having dead animals on your naked body just makes me feel sick.
Yeah, it's very savage, like literally savage. Did you like it?
I liked it. She was trying to make a point. She was trying to make a splash. And I'm pretty sure she rode it in a refrigerated car. So she was good with the maggots. Oh,
with how goopy the world is right now, I don't think anyone would ever go to this extreme.
I don't think so either.
Mm-mm. Yeah, so we're leaving that behind this decade. Next up, the leg popping moment of the decade. Angelina Jolie wearing Versace at the 2012 Oscars. No one can do it better. We all try, but no one can do it better.
I just think there's that moment where, like, you're feeling yourself so hard that nobody can tell you that that leg is not the bomb.
What?
So for me, I'm just
the
like...
The leg is the bomb. It's just...
That's what I'm saying. You can't tell... I'm saying you can't tell her, like, she is not the bomb right now. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's like a black sling thing.
Got
Sorry.
You.
You guys didn't
She's
get it.
The bomb.
She's the bomb.
That leg was all over the carpet.
So funny.
She did a lot of... What is it? What's that? Leg extensions for mm-hmm. that? Uh-huh. With weights. Mm-hmm. All right, how about Rihanna's 2014 CFDA Free the Nip dress? The outfit that started the naked dress movement.
I love this dress. She looks so incredible in it.
I'm gonna get married in that.
Would it be as memorable if she did it today?
Yes. Look at the gloves. Yeah. Look at, everything about this outfit, it's amazing.
I feel like we are able to dress like this because of her, and Kendall does a lot of this type of dress, like
totally.
The sheer, you could see my booty in the back.
Beyonce
She's all about nipple. I want to wear this on Daily Pop next
that
time
scarf.
I'm here.
Honey,
Look
you work
at
E, you can't even wear that on your free time.
To show up in 2020 wearing that dress on Daily Pop next time you see me.
I'm freeing my nipple all of January.
Here he is, Kenneth, right there.
All sheer.
All right. We had two royal weddings this decade. Kate wore Alexander McQueen, Meghan wore Givenchy. Which is your fave?
Kate was my favorite, but people on Twitter think that I'm pro-Kate and anti-Meghan. It's not true. So I could lie to you right now and say it was Meghan's, but I thought Meghan's was boring.
Oh, I loved Meghan's. My friend literally just texted me a photo of it and was like, I could see you in this for your future wedding.
Sorry,
and I said,
baby.
Agreed.
I wouldn't say it was
Zoom
boring.
Zoom into my text message. This is the text message I just received right now, if you can see that right there.
So I preferred
it's
Kate.
It's Meghan. I vote Meghan.
Wow, why are you talking about a wedding? You just started dating the guy like 2 days ago.
Shut up.
Yeah. Scare your
dream.
Man like that. Doesn't scaring your man
I
like that?
Dream. About what wedding dress I want to wear, then it's going to be Meghan's.
No.
What was your dress?
I hated Meghan's. It was too boring.
It was boring.
I wish she would have really shaked it up and did something bold and like more of her speed. I think for her, though, she was trying her hardest to respect the British people. She didn't want to give people anything else to talk about.
She gave a shoulder.
She gave a shoulder.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I like a halter top type of thing to show off your shoulders and like that structure that I feel like for me personally, I like that. So.
I also don't like when I can see a shoe on a wedding dress. It really throws me off.
You don't like a shoe?
I hate when I can see the shoe. Like your dress is not supposed to show your shoe. You're supposed to look like you're floating.
But what you say, Meghan walking down the aisle by herself was one of the most iconic, like if not was the most iconic wedding scene I've ever seen. Mm.
In that musty ass church.
It was such an incredible, empowering moment.
That church looked musty. Ooh.
It wasn't musty. All of them are musty. They're old.
Ooh, girl.
They smell. They're just like,
get some Febreze in there. No, Oprah's face was like this.
You would be musty if you had been around 1,000 years as well.
Yeah,
no,
did you see they
I
were all walking
fresh.
In the sun? Yeah, it was musty, I'm sure.
Musty.
All right, let's get to my boyfriend / ex-boyfriend, Timothée Chalamet, who redefined menswear at the Golden Globes, rocking a Louis Vuitton harness. I feel like every man went and bought a harness after this. How many times did we see it on the carpet after this moment?
Bitch, gay men have been wearing harnesses for a year.
Did they wear it like Timmy, though?
We do. We wear it.
Why were they wearing it on the red carpet?
We don't get
Why
invited.
Why was Billy Porter not wearing a harness?
Because Billy Porter had bigger fish to fry, like his Scarlett O'Hara, like his Scarlett O'Hara situation. You know what? I do believe that this was such a big moment. I also think that Chadwick Boseman has been doing these things for a few years now as well, just redefining menswear and not going with the traditional tuxedo. And I'm happy that Timothée Chalamet did it. Timothée Chalamet.
He's just like a poster boy for me of like what fashion should be. And just the fact that usually on red carpets, like men are just wearing the suit or the tuxedo and it's just, but you know what they're going to wear. Right. Mm-hmm. The fact that he turns up and we never quite know and he's as expressive and adventurous as women can be, are accepted to be on the red carpet. He is like changing red carpet fashion for menswear for me.
Icon. All right, we've got J-La who's stunned on her first Oscar red carpet in custom Calvin Klein. Right here, she was 20 years old.
I remember this dress really, really clearly just because my friend was actually her agent at the time and it was so... she was so, like, she just looks like a cover girl there. She's so beautiful, so amazing, so simple, but perfect.
It was the simplicity that got me. I think sometimes when we think of Oscar gowns or we think of red carpet moments, it's the big hair, it's the big jewels, it's the big dress, it's the accents. And for her and for Calvin Klein, they just knew that the simpler the better and they would let that face do the talking. Look, she barely had a bracelet on. She was like, you know what, this dress is bomb. I'm just going to walk down the aisle.
This is the first time I saw her as like movie star.
And without a spank, honey.
A great color though. Without the spank.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, coming up, it's game time. How many decade-defining pop culture moments can you name on our scramble board? We'll play along when we return.
Ready?
Me versus Melanie.
It's you too, Duke. We're back with the Daily Pop Scramble Board, and it's time to see how well we remember some historic pop culture moments over the last 10 years. Justin and Melanie will play. They have 30 seconds to unscramble each clue. Let's set the timer. All right. First clue, formed in 2010 by Simon Cowell, they became arguably the biggest boy band of the decade. You got 30 seconds. Wow, Justin's moving really fast. Mel, and the spelling has to be correct. So there should be no error. Okay, and Melanie gets it! One Direction! All right, she got the spelling. Did you get? Okay, you got it, but too slow. You gotta move faster, babe. Okay, this next one. The TV host is responsible for the 2014 Oscar selfie, which once held the record for the most retweeted tweet of all time. You gotta spell the name right. Okay, all right, Melanie. Oh, her letters are falling. And Justin's over here, and he's got all of his letters in a row. Is it spelled right? Justin's got it. Yay! Can we check the spelling? That looks right to me.
D-E-E-E.
We do not know who Ellen Dean Gervais
is. I dropped an E.
It's Ellen DeGeneres. Okay, next one. We talked about the Red Wedding earlier. What TV show is that from? She's losing letters.
She's off the ground.
Justin, you have an advantage. She's all on the ground. Okay, she's back up. Oh, she's missing letters again. Get him a throw. Wow. Okay. This is the last one. Are you ready?
No, I've got butterfingers.
You need to stop dropping your letters. Are you ready?
Get in the game.
Okay, here we go. He's the person behind the decade-defining musical hit, Hamilton. All right, you were just singing the music earlier.
This is
a hard one to spell, maybe.
I know what name goes first.
Do we have a dash that we can include? Okay, she hasn't dropped a letter yet. All right, here we go.
I don't know how to spell his last name.
Don't look.
Okay, Justin's got one of the names right.
Oh my God.
He almost has two of the names right.
I'm missing something.
Melanie is still scrambled over here.
I'm missing it.
Time is up.
No, you got it.
Well, kind of.
No, there's an I missing.
You didn't quite win, but you kind of won.
Oh, it
but
did.
You still had two over Mel's one.
Wow.
Justin is the winner of the decade. You guys need to hug this out. Still ahead, Kim and Kanye, Beyonce and Jay-Z. Where will their love be in 2030? We're making some bold relationship predictions for the next decade. That's next. Don't go anywhere.
Wow, Melanie. Damn.
That was cute. That's really cute. I love it. Let me take you back 10 years ago. Prince Harry was dating Chelsea Davy. Kim Kardashian West was with Chris Humphries. We loved our sightings of Leo and supermodel Bar Raffelli, who've both moved on. And while Justin Bieber, he was 15. Yeah, things have changed. So we thought we'd look to 2030 to predict where our favorite famous couples might be. All right, so first up, we've got Kim and Kanye. Still together, still in love, maybe six children. Where are they at right now?
So if they were predicting it, I think Kanye would say that he'd be in the White House. But I think actually there might be a chance that Kim would be president instead. Because what she's doing is so amazing, the kind of progress that she makes in her life.
Yeah, or she'll be the president's advisor.
But as far as love, still together, I think.
Still together, and I think maybe two more kids.
I doubt it. I think she would
No more children, I don't think.
You know what? Maybe one. She would maybe have that one. Flash like, oh, Sama's too old now. I need another one.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where do you think? Still together, still in love? Okay.
Still together,
Got it. Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Still bumping, still grinding. He is going to put music aside and go straight to Tidal and become the CEO of one of the biggest streaming services ever. I think it needs a few more years to get there, and I think he will put all his efforts into that. And I think she is going to be the stage mom to Blue Ivy that we've all wanted.
Yes. Blue Ivy's going to be acting in a Disney Channel original movie, and Beyonce's going to be on set directing, producing, all that.
Yeah, I think I can see Beyonce directing and producing films, television shows, things like that.
Yeah, George and Amal.
Still together. I really do think. I know, like, we're used to celebrity couples splitting up, but these two are so happy.
Yeah,
still in love. Okay, we've got our group of closer to newlywed status, Meghan and Harry.
Separated. Ooh, did I say it, Melanie?
I think they're less predictable as far as a happily ever after at the moment, only because they're both finding it so difficult. There's actually a petition. There's been a petition in the UK for them to lose their royal titles, which I absolutely do not think they should happen. But these are two people that are finding it very difficult to balance everything at the moment.
They probably started the petition.
Still together.
They probably started the petition.
I think that they'll have two children, but I hope they make it, and I hope they're still together.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
People really, really think I'm anti them on Twitter. I really am not. I just worry for them.
You're sensitive today.
We got another one. Justin and Haley. I think still together and maybe two children.
I don't know if they'll still be together either. I don't know. I'm so sorry.
Melanie, why?
Just because they're both so young and they've got so far to go and so much growth, and I'm just used to people having starter marriages.
All right, Sister Melanie.
I feel like there's a new child on the way soon for them, and then there will be another by 2030. I don't know. All right.
2030 is a long way away,
guys. It is a long way away. Up next is Feel Good Friday. We're highlighting why the last decade was all about acceptance. Stay with us.
Yes.
Welcome back. It's Feel Good Friday, and it seems the top feel-good theme from the decade is acceptance. We're talking the rise of body positivity, redefining beauty standards, gender acceptance, and mental health awareness. Okay, who are some people that you think really redefined the way that we think, who've changed the conversation about these topics in a positive way?
I think Rihanna, for sure. Like, just the fact when she launched her makeup line, having foundation colors for every skin tone was extraordinary, and just nobody had thought of that before. And also with her underwear line, having women of all shapes and sizes and different cut, like every single ethnicity, just incredible.
Yeah, and they were so accessible to us.
So accessible.
Yeah. For me, I think sexual orientation was at the forefront of this decade. And you look at people like Laverne Cox, who has broke down so many barriers for the people of trans experience. And even Lil Nas X going in between country and rap and being openly gay and being himself and being accepted and being celebrated. Like, for me, that is huge. And of course, Kristen Stewart with that BDE. I mean, this woman.
She has it.
She has it. Really showing people that, you know, people of the LGBTQ plus community can be leading women and men.
Yeah, and she seems so happy and in such a good space right now. I'm really happy for her.
Yeah, mental health stuff as well. I think the royals, just for like being vulnerable and talking about their problems, which we'd never had before.
I think mental health was a big thing that we saw in 2019, especially. We saw a lot of people speaking out about it. Demi Lovato being so open with her entire journey. Chrissy Teigen, someone who I never thought that we'd see be open about her mental health struggles. She's the bubbly, fun person that we all see on Twitter. She's always having a good time. But to see her being so open and so candid with us was really an eye-opener that, you know, we all can come forward with the issues that we deal with.
Yeah.
We don't always have to
be
this way.
It's actually strong to be vulnerable and making mental health as important as physical health.
Yeah, you know, and having celebrities do it now gives people like us, ourselves, normal people, like the courage to come out and say
Absolutely.
It. And we see it being celebrated
totally.
Instead of back in the day, you know, agents and managers and publicists, they wanted to shoo all your problems under a rug so people wouldn't know about it.
Yeah, and hopefully in this next decade, we can continue to be more open, honest, we can keep growing.
Yes.
That's a wrap for this week, you guys. Monday, we're talking fashion trends to buy, keep, ditch. We've got a whole new year. Have a great weekend, guys. Bye. Did you guys make up? Are you guys in love?
Thanks for listening to the podcast edition of Daily Pop. Remember, we've got a new episode every day. Make sure to subscribe and have a great rest of your day.